Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk to us tonight about standing obedient. Standing obedient. It's so important that the church stand and be obedient to what God says, not what the world says, not man's opinion of what the Bible says, but what the Word actually says. So here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's writing and he's encouraging the Ephesians, and he says here in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You see, the power that you and I have is through and by the Lord. Come on, His Spirit living in us, His glory in our lives, that's where our power comes from. That's why it's so important to get in the Word and know the Word, because He is the Word. Amen. So He's telling us, He says, you know, to be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. And then He says this, He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So He tells us, you know, that the devil has some wiles. Well, what are wiles? Well, that word wiles there means trickery. How many knows the devil is one that likes to pull tricks? He likes to do things and make it look one way and then look and it be another way. He likes to tell half truths, but he also loves to lie, because he's the father of lies. He is also the accuser of the brethren. Come on. So He says, you know, here that we need to put on that whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, when you start thinking about that, look at what's going on. There's a spiritual battle going on. There's a spirit in the world. There's a spiritual battle going on in this church right now. But it's not against flesh and blood. It's against the enemy. Come on. It's against all those principalities. Most people can't see past the flesh and blood. Come on. So He says, you know, that's not who your fight's with. It's not flesh and blood, but it's against all these demonic spirits that are coming against you. So you have to understand when things are happening, it's a spiritual warfare, a spiritual thing. I just kind of was thinking about this today, how the enemy's working and using trickery to get people to do things that they normally wouldn't do. You know, and I was thinking about this, and this story came to mind. You remember the story of the rich man that he had so much money, he wanted, when he was about to die, and he wanted to take his money with him. And he was going to leave his wife with nothing because he wanted to be buried with his money. You know, and so they had the funeral, you know, and they placed him in the ground. And somebody said, wait a minute now. What happened about burying him with all of his money? And his wife looked and said, "I wrote him a check." Right? I put a check in there. He's got his money. Now, see, you say, well, that's kind of funny. Can I tell you something? There's a trickery going on in the world right now, and it's caused a lot of people to dismiss the Word of God so that they could go after the trickery, you know, and that's the promises of raises, the promises of money. There's the promises, we're going to give you this and this and this. But here's the thing. If they promise you a 3 or 4 or 5% raise and then turn around and raise the price and the cost of goods 7 or 8%, how many knows you just went in whole 3%? See, that's what, for 5% I can help people kill babies. Yeah. Baby, the good is amazing. So you see all these things happening, and these people act like they care about this, and they're less. Isn't it amazing? You see, or I would sell out what I said, the price. I don't get mad because I'm preaching about you, because this is our word, or His word to us, and be high, because you won't get mad, and it won't better me. I'm going to tell you something. You just think something. What's going on right now? You pay more money for your groceries right now than you ever did in your life. It don't do you no good to make an extra $100 a week if it costs you $200 more a week in groceries. See, so we have to understand this trickery is going. And you say, well, now what's that got to do with the Word of God? It's all a spiritual battle. It's the enemy trying to take down the United States. It's exactly, I mean, you can say what you want to, but it's the truth. You know, how much money does it take for us to turn our eyes away from all the wickedness that's going on in the world? It just got real quiet. Come on, think about it. How much money does it take? Can I tell you something? Every person right now that's on the streets in this country that's marching against Israel is a person that is marching against the very God that you serve. They are marching against you. They're marching against your country. Oh, no, they're just protesting Israel. No. No, they're not just protesting Israel. They are supporting Hamas, who wants to absolutely obliterate and destroy the Jewish people, Israel, God's chosen people, and the United States along with it. Because we all serve the same God. So you can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm telling you, it's a spiritual thing that's going on. The enemy is trying to silence Israel and silence Israel. So a lot of folks forgot when they voted that. They shut down. When they voted that, they shut down the church and kept the abortion case. But that church praying to God, well, they should have come out. We need somebody to say something, because we're sitting back hill, and you and I need to raise our hands, raise up a standard. You let God go to hell for the money. What's popular people? You see what's going on? Blood tie. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. And I'm going to say the high price, but you know what people fall for? You know, they'll go to church on Sunday and praise God. I'm going to tell you something. We have to be careful. We have to understand that it's just all a spiritual battle taking place. And so he goes on there and he talks about it and stands against all of this. Well, he knows what he's talking about. You know, putting all this, we must stand in our righteousness, we must stand in truth. Amen. That's what Paul's trying to tell us here. Those are weapons, truth, righteousness. How is against the devil? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, I don't want to. If you can show me that I'm wrong, if you show me we're wrong for the word of God, then you know, I'll apologize. That's chapter 4. So don't be little. I just don't have evil before. You can make it matter. When Jesus was standing there, having committed no sin, Barabbas was standing there, and the people said, give us Barabbas. Come on. You see, they definitely did not have anything on Jesus, but they were mad at him. Because he was telling them the truth, and they couldn't handle the truth. And they wanted to shut the truth up. And that's what the world wants to do right now. It wants to give us the world. Give us Barabbas. We want to shut this church up. We want to shut God's mouth up. We want to shut God's people up. Because we can't have them telling the world that Israel's God's chosen people. We can't have them telling the world that all that land over there belongs to the children of Israel. Don't get mad at me. It's the truth. God gave it to Abraham. And therefore, Abraham's children is who it belongs to. Aren't you glad to be a child of Abraham? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now understand something. Don't matter what we do in this world, we will face judgment. The child of God is going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. And the person that's not a child of God is going to go before the great throne judgment. So you'll not get away from judgment. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord to the glory of the Father. Come on, there are those over that are shouting all their chants and all that thing right now. But one of these days they're going to be shouting the name of Jesus, whether they like it or not. Why? Because that's what the Word says. So he says everybody's going to be judged. And look at verse 2 now. He says, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. People's ears are being turned away from the truth. Amen. They're heaping to themselves, tell me what I want to hear. Just tell me what all I can do. Come on now. Don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what all I can do. And the can do is not godly things. It's how much can I get away with? How much can I get away with and still get to go to heaven? And you know what they're being told? They're being told, whatever you want to. You're under grace. It don't matter what you do. You'll still get to go to heaven. Come on. Them, like some folks that are supposed to be having seven virgins or however how many virgins or whatever they're supposed to have, they're all going to get a surprise one of these days. They're going to find out none of that was true. Come on, that was all man's tales, man's fables, all made up stuff. But notice it says they'll heap to themselves. They want somebody to tell them what they want to hear. And it's happening right now all over the world in churches. It's happening in our government. It's happening. How many politicians you ever heard that wasn't promising something? Right? Come on, so you're looking at me. I know you're getting mad at me. But it don't matter. It's the truth anyway. They're all promising, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm an idiot. You know? And they can't make it come to pass. Come on. It's got to go through your legislator. You know, they can say what they want to, but if you don't put the right people in there, you can't get nothing done. And it needs to be godly people that are wanting to do what God wants done instead of what the world wants done. We don't need to be passing more freedom rights for people to act like heathens, live like just animals. Come on. But you see, that again, people turn away their ears from the truth. And they get their ears turned toward fables. Well, you know, we're just living in different times now. It is a different time. It's a time when people don't want to hear the truth. They want to be lied to. Make me feel good. Tell me, it's kind of like the person that's dying and they want somebody to look them in the eye and say, tell me it's going to be all right. Well, you know, you can say, well, that's what you ought to do. Well, what if they're on their way to hell? You know, you better be able to get some honesty in you and say, now listen, it's not going to be all right. You look like you're going to die. And if you don't give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you might end up in hell. You say, well, you wouldn't love that person very much. I'd love them enough to try to keep them out of hell. I'd love them enough to tell them the truth. But you see, that's not the case. The enemy's out there. And so you and I we've got to stand. We've got to be obedient. We've got to stand with the Word and what the Word says. Look over here in Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, here's what's going on. Moses is on the mountain. And he's getting the words of God. Joshua's about halfway up the mountain and God's up there with his finger writing down his commandments for his people. But down on the ground, because it's Moses has tarried on the mountain, now the people are starting to get antsy. Can I tell you something? People start trying to make things happen. They start getting antsy. Instead of waiting on the Lord to renew their strength, they start getting antsy. So they're starting to get antsy on Aaron down there, who is really not the anointed one. You know, you got to understand Moses was. Aaron was the mouthpiece, but yet Aaron was the high priest. But they're starting to get antsy on him, and they said, they come to him and said, hey, listen, you need to make us a God that we can see, because first for this Moses, we don't know where he's at, don't know what's happened to him. You know what Aaron did? Aaron said, well, break off your earrings and all this stuff. Bring all that to me. The Bible says then he took their stuff. Now listen to this. Aaron's been with Moses all along. Aaron walked across dry ground. He knew there was a God. Come on now. But he submitted to the will of the people. Can I tell you, the will of the people is almost opposite all the time of the will of God. He made them a molten calf. And then he said, oh man, look at this thing. Tomorrow we're going to party. Aaron said that. So the next day, they throw a big wild party. I mean, apparently it was a barn burner. And even Aaron caused them to get naked. So what's that tell you? Probably an orgy. There's all kinds of sexual junk going on. How many knows that's the way the devil operates? They fell right into all the pagan stuff that was all around them. And they did it all. Because now they had a pagan god. And so God tells Moses, He said, get off the hill, I'm going to kill them all. Moses said, Lord, you can't kill them all because they'll say that you brought them out in the desert to kill them all. So Moses goes down the hill. Joshua's coming. He meets Joshua down. He said, man, it sounds like there's a war going on there. He said, no, that's not a war. He said, that's dancing and music going on down there. And when he gets down there, here they are. He sees it all. Now I want to show you. Of course, we know that he takes and he crushes that and he makes up this mixture. He makes them drink it. He said, you drink this stuff. You wanted a God, you're drinking. But let's pick up here in verse 20. Chapter 32, verse 20. Let me get there. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not thine anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, they're set on mischief. He blamed it on the people. They about broke his arm twisting it. For they said to me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said to them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. I'm surprised God didn't just right there. This is a high priest lying like a dog. Amen. Whether you like it or not, that's what he's doing. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. All the sons of Levi gathered themselves and come unto him. Now, if you read on, and I won't read on for just sake of time, it's Wednesday night, but what happened was this. Once they came up, then Moses commanded them to go through the camp. And the leaders of that bunch, 3,000 men, died by the sword there. And then Moses began to intercede and talk to God about them. And he said, he went to him and he said, God, don't kill them all. He said, matter of fact, he said, this is my fault. I'm paraphrasing, okay? He said, please have mercy on them, if not, blot my name out. Just blot my name out. And God says, no, I'll not blot your name out. I'll blot their name out. And he says, but I'll take care of them with the plague. See, here's what I'm going to show you. Because of their disobedience, some of them saw immediate retribution. Immediately they paid the price for what they did. But some of them thought they got away with it. But God knows every secret thing. God knows every person. He knew every person that participated in all that and was taking part of that. And later on, they got caught with the plague. See, what I want to show you, church, is you can't get away from anything from God. God sees everything that's done, and you can plot the biggest plot and lie the biggest lie and pretend the biggest pretend, but God still knows. God still knows. And so we have to be real careful. Matter of fact, I got something to even prove that to you. In Numbers chapter 13, you remember, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. That's when Moses sent out the 12 spies to spy out the promised land. They come back, they're saying it's just like God said it is. Here's the proof that it's like God said it is. Nevertheless, there'll be giants in the land, and we're not able to take them because we're grasshoppers in their sight. And Joshua and Caleb said, let's go up right now, we're well able. If God's on our side, we cannot be beat. And those other 10 discouraged all the people to the point they were saying, oh, we want to go back to Egypt. We don't want to have to go through all this, you know. And God was angered with them. And God said, you know what? There's not going to be one person here over 20 years old that's going to see the promised land. And so for 40 years, He made them wander in the promised land till all of them had died off. And then there comes this time now that the descendants of those same people that sinned against God, it's their turn. So over in Numbers chapter 32, we have Moses talking and saying, listen, now, you know, here's what your parents did. Now, if you want to go over and fight for the Lord and be on God's side and do what God says, then we'll let you do that. But if not, then you're going to be in the same boat as them. And here's what they said. They said, let us do this. Let us make some houses and cities and stuff here for our families on this side. We'll go over there and we'll fight the battle for the Lord so that everybody can go that way. And we'll stay here. We understand the penalty. We understand what our parents did. But Moses said this, and I like this. Moses said, no. He said, if you go do what you said you would do, then everything's going to be forgiven. You can get to go too. But he said, if you don't do what you're saying you're going to do, be sure your sin will find you out. What did he just say? He just said, you can say you're going to go over there, but if you don't, God knows. And see, we can say a lot of times we're children of God, but we're not doing what God says. God knows. We can say we're standing with God and standing on His Word, but if we're not, God knows. We come on now. We can say we love God, but if, you know, He knows. You know, a lot of people use that, well, God knows my heart. He sure does. That's a scary thing, that He knows our hearts sometimes. Come on. So what I wanted to show you here is He said, listen, if you'll do what God says to do, then even though your parents a long time ago disobeyed me, they died in the wilderness, I want to bless you. What I'm trying to tell you is it don't matter about your past or no matter even what you've done in the past. If you'll stand obedient and do the Word of God now, if you'll do what God says to do now, God will still forgive and bless. Amen. They got to go over into the promised land. Why? Because God was right there to help them fight that battle. Because they were fighting for the Lord. They were giving Him glory. They were putting God first. When you put God first, God will fight your battle. Did you hear me? When you put God first, He'll fight your battle. See, if you start thinking about this, you know, remember the story of Saul? Remember how when Saul was anointed king by Samuel, how that the Lord came to Samuel and he told him, he said, I want you to send Saul and his people over to the Amalekites and I want you to tell him to absolutely, utterly destroy everything. Everything. Man, woman, child, animal, everything. Now I know that sounds really harsh and everybody would say, oh, that's a mean God. But you see, you've got to understand, these are the people that refuse to let His people come up through their land. So God said, that's fine. I'll get my people where I need them to go, but sooner or later you'll pay the price for not being for my people and letting them through. Matter of fact, they were, God meant it so much that when they went up to the Amalekites, there were some other folk there from another country, and they told them, they said, listen, you better get out of here if you don't want to die with them. They said, you can go because you allowed us to come up through your country in order to, as we were coming into the promised land. But these people here, God's told us to destroy them all. And they go up there, and the Bible says they go up on them, they start killing everything, and they utterly destroy everything except they capture the king, they take him captive, and they take all the good sheep and the good cattle and they got all that. They say they're going to sacrifice it to the Lord. Samuel comes up and Saul meets him out there and he goes up to him and he says, well, blessed be the Lord. I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel says, well, what meaneth this lowing I hear? What's this mooing? What am I hearing here? The people. The people wanted to keep all the good stuff so we could sacrifice it to the Lord. And by the way, I kept the king too, because, you know, we want to put him on display. And Saul looked at him and said, you know what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When we rebel against God, we rebel against the Word of God, it's as the sin of witchcraft. Let me just help you a little bit here, because this will hit us all a little bit. I said us. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Right? Come on, you can be obedient to go to church and pray and shout and jump and run all over the place, but what do you do out in the world? Are you still obedient to do what God says when you're out there? Out with your friends. Out doing other things. Do you take God into consideration in every act that you do? See, a lot of times we think, well, this is just life. This is just the way the life works. No, life don't work without God. Life don't work without Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you, that's life. And He will lead and guide, direct you in the things that you should do. He will absolutely. Now, He won't make you do them because He's a gentleman. But you can be promised that He will. He'll urge you. He'll prompt you. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, don't. You better not. Yeah, don't do that. That's not what God would want you to do. But He'll let you. I like that, Brother Rick. Don't pull that lever. And that's true. But we got to be careful. We've got to make sure that when we're standing in obedience to the Word of God. Our whole life is surrounded by God, and God is all through us and on the inside of us. And He sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And see, here's what gets us. A lot of times we want to do things because we think in our eyes this is best. But can I tell you, if God's Word says it, then God knows what He's doing. And He has a purpose for what He's doing. And He needs His people to be obedient so that His purpose can come to pass. And so when we're disobedient because it doesn't look right for us, even though God says it is, that's hard for us. Because, you know, we have a will, and God will not override our will. I'll just give you a little example. We get accused of talking about money all the time anyway, but I'll just go ahead and throw this out here for you. It hurts us so bad when we hear those words, and bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. 10% of my income. Bring it all into God's house. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. We hear that. Now, that's a great promise. Did you just hear what I just said? I said, God said, give Him 10% of your income, and He's going to pour you out something you can't even receive for 10%. I ate at a restaurant today, and I gave the waitress 20%. Because anymore, that's kind of the, you know, some restaurants don't even offer 15% no more. But it wasn't a whole lot, so 20% make, you know. But what I'm trying to say is, was that waitress worth more than God? Because percentage-wise, I gave her twice as much as I do God. Well, not really. I don't even want that. Let's not go there. But anyway, I'm just trying to make an illustration here. To show you that we struggle with that. We have a hard time with that. But that's a truth from the Word of God. Give and it shall be given to you. That's a truth from the Word of God. Now, Stephanie brought out Sunday morning, you know, the next verse on that. And I'll rebuke the devourers for your sake over in Malachi chapter 3. So what's that mean? That means while I'm tithing even though it hurts and it looks like it's hurting me financially, really it's not. You won't miss it once you start to tithe. You just don't miss it. It's like God multiplies that 90% to the point that you don't even miss that other. But along with that, here now, I have that covering of God rebuking the devourer for my sake. Okay? Now again, it hurts when we hear it. But then when trouble comes, when the rain comes, and the storms blow, and I don't got a roof, I'm exposed to whatever comes. My covering is not there. Because I satisfied myself and didn't do what God said. And therefore, God is not obligated to do what He said He would do. And I can get mad, I can cry, I can kick, I can cut a fit, but it doesn't matter. Do you remember what God told Cain? He said, if you do the right thing, then you'll be blessed too. But Cain, instead of doing the right thing, just went ahead and killed Abel. And that's what a lot of folks do. They just kill the Word of God because they don't want to do it.
Right.
I'm not giving no 10% to that church. You're not giving it to the church. You're giving it to God. Do you understand that? It don't belong to this church. Ain't nothing belongs to this church. This church is just an avenue through which we can glorify God, get God's work done, and have a place to do it in. That's what the church operates as. You know, I mean, it's just kind of crazy that we won't be obedient to what the Word of God says. And just do what the Word says. And when we do what the Word of God says, my gosh. When we stand and be obedient to the Word of God, you can stay. Listen, folks, God is not a wimp. Okay? He's not a wimp. And He's not afraid for you to stand and look at Him and say, God, I've done what You said to do. I'm trusting You to do what You said You'd do. Because He always will. You say, oh, I would never do that to God. Well, if He said it in His Word, then He wouldn't be God if He didn't hold and back up His Word. And He sure wouldn't get mad at you for doing what He told you to do. You can't listen to the world, folks, and the things the world says. They try to act like they're so humble and, oh, I would never say that around God. He's God. And He's the one gave us the rights and the abilities to be able to do that. Just stand and be obedient. And watch and see how God blesses you. I'm telling you, church, He wants to bless His people. But God blesses obedience. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Father, I thank You, bless You, and praise You, Lord, that Your Word's true is forever settled. And Lord, where that kind of cuts